this last fall, some of us attended the Eastern European Missions annual banquet here in the Woodlands. And each year they have a special featured speaker. And this year it was Brad McCoy. How many of you know who he is? Well, more of you will probably recognize him in a moment. He's the head football coach at Graham, Texas, until February 2010, when he resigned to join an organization that works with college and high school coaches to develop young athletes. He has three sons. All their names start with a C: Colt, Chance, and Case. Now some of you might know who Brad is. Colt is a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, and Chance and Case both play for the University of Texas. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing Brad speak. His speech was, I'm sure, much like motivational speeches which he now gives across the nation. He shared what he said was the guiding principle that he and his wife followed in rearing their sons. Prepare the child for the path, and not the path for the child. He ended his speech with a story about the now famous incident of what Colt said after he was injured in the 2010 national championship game against Alabama, and he had to stand on the sidelines watching helplessly as UT lost. A TV reporter asked for his comments after he had returned from the locker room, and it was obvious he was not going to be able to play. And he sat there and stood there and watched his team, and then after they lost, as he was walking off the field, the TV reporter asked him for his comments. He expressed his deep disappointment at the outcome and his injury. And then he concluded, I never question why things happen the way they do. God is in control of my life, and I know that if nothing else, I'm standing on the rock. And that created quite a firestorm across the media, across our nation. And Brad, in his presentation at the banquet, after he had told many more details of that, of going back into the locker room and how that his son was determined that he was going to come back out and he was unable to and play, Brad paused and he said, that's the result of preparing the child for the path and not the path for the child. I'm impressed by this family. Some of you know them personally. Some of you have attended church where they attend. Their family are all, for generations, faithful members of the Church of Christ. For many years, they've attended the Red River Family Encampment, and their family has a multi-generational singing group that's sung there for many years. And I want to borrow his mantra for this lesson: preparing the child for the path and not the path for the child. And I'd like for us to consider some things that we can do to accomplish that. First of all, we need to be really crystal clear about the objective that we're trying to achieve whenever we say, prepare the child for the path. And let me add right here that I think that this principle is very closely associated with the biblical principle that we find in Proverbs 22:6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they'll not leave it. Now, that's probably a different rendering of what you've heard all of your life. That's the New Living Translation. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. What is the right path that we should be preparing our children for? You know, good things don't happen by accident in the world anymore, since sin gave the devil such a powerful hand in this world. Good things don't happen by accident. Parents must have a very clear picture of where we want to direct our children, and then we can determine how to get them there. And so, first of all, I'm going to make a recommendation to moms and dads, particularly those of you that have young children at home, that you sit down and you spend some time discussing what path you want your child to be prepared for. I mean, precisely, exactly. What is the thing that you most want for your children? And when you determine that, what you're doing is you're establishing priorities that you're going to use to rear your child. Put it in a sentence. Keep working until you can boil it down to a simple phrase of what your priority is for your child or your children in their life. And you can use that every time you have a decision to make in your life. Then one of the two of you will remind the other, okay, remember, this is what we want for our child, and then you say it. And if whatever that decision that you're making, it will put it in a clearer focus. And if it does not contribute to that, if in fact it leads you away from that, then don't do it. And you'll have some consistency in your life as you rear your child. Above all else, and that's the way I would recommend that you start your statement. Above all else, I want my children to be faithful to the Lord until they die, regardless of the cost. I want to develop in my children a faith that will guide them through the path, regardless of where the path leads. Janice and I pray for that every day. We still do, even though our children are grown. We now include our grandchildren in that prayer. I look out at all the young families in our church family here, and there are so many young children here. So much pride, so much happiness, so much joy. And you need to know that they all start out that way. And I don't mean this as a downer, but it's a reality. They all start out that way with pride and happiness and joy, but they don't all end up that way. And you need to know that too. The wise man showed both coins, both sides of the coin, when he said in Proverbs 17:21, "It's painful to be the parent of a fool. There is no joy for the father of a rebel." And then he said in Proverbs 23:24, "The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise." And the congregation can say, amen. Boy, isn't that the truth? On both sides of that coin. So I'm assuming that as a parent, you're accepting your active role of involvement in your child's future. And as such a parent, you subconsciously make decisions which develop a pattern of your involvement in your child or your children's future. And one way to illustrate your involvement is to picture it as either you are preparing the child for the path, or you are preparing the path for the child. That has to do with your involvement in their life and how you're involved in their future. I feel obligated to put something of a disclaimer in right here for the sake of reality. I read and listen to people who make things so simplistic that they sound easy. And by the way, I've had some teachers before who took something relatively easy and worked really hard to make it complex also. But sometimes whenever we take something that's really not so simple and we boil it down too simply, then we're just expressing something in the way in which it should be, or which it would work ideally in a vacuum where there's no resistance. But this world is not a vacuum. And I quite often start a statement out by saying, all things being equal, so-and-so. But you know what the next line is. All things are never equal, are they? They never are. There's always resistance. There's always difficulties. The teachings of the Bible are of no value if they're only ideal and not practical. And so let me be clear about this. Rearing godly children is not easy in this world. It never has been. It's always difficult. And just a little word to young people who are not married. Guys, if you're going to live a life for the Lord, you better be looking for a wife who has that as her priorities. Young ladies, you better be looking for a strong Christian leader for your home, because it's tough to do it alone. So when I talk about preparing the child for the path or the path for the child, I'm not so naive that I don't know that there are times when you do some path preparation. I realize that. But I'm convinced that you need to major in child preparation rather than path preparation. And there are a number of reasons for that. Because if you prepare the child, when you are unable to prepare the path for them, then they'll stay on the path regardless of how difficult that path becomes. And that's our goal, right? How do people go about trying to prepare the path? There are some really well-meaning parents and grandparents who decide that they're going to prepare their path for their child. But here's some difficulties about preparing the path. Number one, you don't know everything that they're going to face in life. Number two, you can't fix everything that they're going to face. And number three, they may not take the path that you prepared for them. In fact, that's pretty likely that they're not going to. And number four, you're not always going to be there to fix it for them. And so if you major on preparing the path, you're not going to prepare that child for the long term, for the long distance, their entire life. Every one of us is familiar with some story similar to this one. Whenever I was in high school involved in sports, one of my classmates had a dad who he operated on intimidating everybody around him. And he was pretty good at it. During one football game, the coach pulled my friend out of the game because he had messed up. And his dad immediately popped up in the stands and started screaming at the top of his lungs to get his son back in the game. And he didn't just say it once or twice or three times. He got louder and louder, and he started coming out of the stands. He came down to the fence, and he finally, when the coach was ignoring him, he jumped the fence and went out and got up in the coach's face while the game was going on. The coach calmly listened to him, and when he had paused, he informed him that if he didn't get back over the fence, he was going to pick him up and assist him getting back over the fence. And everybody in the stands cheered. But you see, his goal was to prepare the path for his child. And there is no coach, no teacher, no police officer, every principal, everyone who works with kids has had multiple experiences of parents who do everything within their power to prepare the path for the child when they should be preparing the child for the path. It's so tempting as a parent and a grandparent to work on that path. We want to remove all the obstacles, don't we? It's kind of natural, isn't it? We want to smooth the path out. We want to take the bumps out. We want to fill in the potholes. And there are lots of mistakes that people make with the intention of, I just want my child to be happy. Do you understand what it takes to make a child happy? Well, if you do today, you won't tomorrow. It will be something different tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And that's why there are so many homes that actually are run by the children, because the parents' mantra, the most important thing to them is that their child be happy. And they're not in control of their home. Or, I don't want my child to fail. I don't want my child to get hurt. Neither do I. But you know what? There's going to be some failures along the way. There's going to be some times when they get hurt along the way. And if they don't know how to handle that, they're not going to be prepared for life. And so you better help them get prepared that there are times when they're not going to be number one, when somebody else is going to beat them, when somebody else is going to be prettier, when somebody else is going to be faster, they're going to be better, they're going to be smarter. And they have to learn how to handle that in life. If you focus on preparing the path rather than the child, then you're in danger of doing exactly what this last winter retreat for our young people was all about, lowering the standards. Lowering the standards. Creating an attitude of entitlement. Everybody exists to make me happy. Everybody exists to give me what I want. you're not preparing the child for a successful life, for the path. When the day comes that you can't fix it, then they'll become discouraged and they'll quit. Somehow they will quit. Quit doesn't necessarily mean going and laying down and dying. It means choosing a lesser path sometimes. Doing something wrong instead of doing what's right, because it's always easier to do what's wrong than it is to do what's right. When they can't come in first, or when they can't win at everything, then they become angry and they become critical and hostile toward life. And if you feed that, you're not preparing the child for the path. What am I trying to accomplish by preparing my child for the path? Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to instill values, discernment, motivation, and character that will allow that child to navigate the path in front of them. What are some things that I can do to prepare my child for the path? Well, first of all, I can teach them respect for authority. And that's where it all begins, folks, right here. This is the bottom rung of the ladder. One of the primary pillars for building a life is to learn respect for authority. And the first respect for the first authority that they learn is respect for you as a parent. And some of us, many parents, fail right there at the very beginning. Fail to teach our children to respect them as parents. If a child is blatantly disrespectful of his parents, he will fail in life. Period. End of thought. You hear that, young people? Your parents may not always act in a way that's worthy of respect, but you respect them anyway. You gain absolutely nothing by being disrespectful to your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Respect your parents, for your parents lays a foundation for respect for social authorities. That would be teachers at school. It lays a foundation for respect for civil authorities. That would be law enforcement officers. It lays respect ultimately for God Himself. And I'm going to say, if you don't respect your parents, it's going to be really hard for you to truly respect God. And so you start right now learning to respect your parents. If you rear a child who does not have respect for you as a parent, you've not prepared that child for the path. Secondly, teach them discipline. And I know this is very unpopular, yet it's a vital principle of Christianity. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, number one, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Does that sound like it might take some discipline? Deny himself, take up his cross daily. You see, discipline is both positive and negative. It takes discipline to deny yourself things that you don't need to be involved in. Let's take a diet, for example. Or maybe let's not. I don't like that example. Yeah, it does. It takes discipline, does it not? To deny yourself things that you shouldn't have. And it takes discipline to get up every morning and take up your cross daily. Every morning. Because that's not a pleasant experience. And so it's going to take lots of discipline to live a successful life. Discipline is one of the most divisive issues between moms and dads. How interesting. Lots and lots of heartache in homes because mom and dad are at one another's throat about how the children will or will not be disciplined. And when that happens, the children are the losers. Get your act together, mom and dad, on discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Who ever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you're illegitimate and you're not really his children at all. Wow. That's pretty straight talk, isn't it? If you do not consistently discipline your child, then they're going to be unable to stay on the path until the end, because it's going to take all the discipline that they can possibly come up with. And then thirdly, teach them to trust God for everything. And you know, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? Everything else is preparatory for this one thing right here. If you teach your child this, then everything's going to turn out fine. You hear me? If you teach your child this, and they truly trust God for everything, God's going to take care of them. It's going to turn out fine. This is what Abraham was teaching his son Isaac as they faced the most difficult moment in either one of their lives up to this point. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac, his son's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and he said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for a burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. Now, I realize that I've changed the venue just a little bit. That's not Abraham and Isaac exactly, but that's a Texas Abraham and Isaac, okay? And you know, isn't that a neat way to end that story? And they both walked on together. When you teach your child to trust God, then you can be assured where the end of the path of his life will lead. The result of preparing the child for the path. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you the ways of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, my son. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life." Proverbs 4, 10 through 13. When a child has been prepared for the path, you've given that child coping skills for when he or she gets stuck with a lesson that's too hard or a concept that they can't understand. Then they know what path to take when they come to a rough spot in life. They know the right decision to make when they're faced with choices. They learn to have the determination to work hard, the courage to fight through challenges, and to persevere, to never, never, never give up, and always do what's right. And you know, one of the neat little asides here is that when you teach your child these things for their spiritual life, they are very likely going to succeed in this life also. You're going to get a little Laney, something extra, a little Laney out there. They're going to succeed in this life, and they're going to prepare for eternal life. May God grant us the desire, the wisdom, and the courage to prepare our children for the path that lies ahead while we stand and sing.